Thomas Reverend Higgins, and he'll keep the watch off and he'll keep them at time. I want to thank him and the elders for the invitation to come and share in the meetings. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, and it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 107, verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And God really did redeem me from the hand of the enemy. Some folk want to know a wee bit about your background. I have a Belfast accent, but I'm from Lisburn. My father was a city man, and we lived fairly close to the motorway end of town, and sometimes you picked up their accents and things like that there. So anyway, I was born into a home in Lisburn where we lived with my grandmother. My parents weren't Christian, far from it, and I would have heard the name of Christ every day, but only as a swear word. And growing up as a child, that name was used most days in our home. So I heard the name of Christ as a swear word, not as the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of sinners, but as a swear word. Well, anyway, we lived with my grandmother. I'm giving the age away because we lived in a wee two up, two down, and the toilet was out in the backyard, and you get washed in a tin bath. So you may guess I'm getting on in years a little bit. But anyway, that's the way we lived. And then about seven years of age, something happened that my mother just went to hospital and didn't seem to come home. And I just didn't know what was happening with my mother. Where's my mummy? And why is she not coming home? We'd no car, and she's away in the fever hospital in Belfast. And then you got a little bit older and you were told that you took tuberculosis. And in those days it was killing people and they were dying with it. My mother was away for those long months. And of course that's the way it was. And she wasn't coming home. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew she was going to die. And so on and so forth. But anyway, she came through it and she came out. And then that was okay. The doctor said we couldn't stay in a house like that because it wasn't healthy for my mother. We moved up to a little house in the estate behind us called Greenwood Estate. And then maybe some of the younger days were happier. But then my father, I would have said, began to show us two colours. Because my father was a wee small man. He joined the Royal Navy, didn't stick it too long. Wee tough, hard man from the Donegal Road in Belfast. Bad tempered man. Many's the time our furniture was wrecked, our windows were broken, and we were on the streets. And I can honestly say I shed an awful lot of tears as a child. And sometimes it hardens you as you get older. And I went to a Sunday school anyway in a congregational church in Lisburn where there was saved Sunday school teachers that told us about the Lord Jesus and told us that you needed to be saved. And some dear Sunday school teacher taught me a verse to memorize. That was John 3:16, "For God who loved the world that he did, the only begotten Son." And that verse followed me wherever I went. And no matter where I went, that verse of scripture would have followed me here, there, and everywhere. But anyway, I remember thinking one time during the tough times, during the times when the glass was broken, and the furniture was wrecked, if God loved me, he's given me a bad deal. If God loved me, he's given me a bad deal, because they didn't really put me in. And I thought, it's all right for them saying God loves you and Christ died for you, they have happy homes. I was very unhappy, maybe in certain times as a child. Till one point I tried to figure it out, and thank God I couldn't do it. How do you commit suicide as a child? Thank God I was stupid and didn't know how to do it. It might not do it today. But anyway, time moves on and things go on. And I don't want to take up an awful lot of time. Went to school in Lisburn, left, worked in an engineering firm locally, spent a lot of years there. Got to about 22 years of age and joined the police. By this stage was married, a couple of children, and so on and so forth. They had a lot of sport and things about there. And drunk an awful lot of beer. Don't want to glorify the devil tonight, but I love the bottle. And that's just the way it was. They had a lot of sport and really lived it up and so on and so forth. And many, many times, me and my wife would have had spiritual conversations. Her sister was saved, her mother was saved, her father was saved, but she wasn't. And I used to say, listen, it's not for me, but I would never stand in your way or hold you back. So that's the way it went. And time moved on and time pushed on. And the years went on and I got into my 30s. And I earned an awful lot of money. And unfortunately, wasted an awful lot of it in silly things, buying cars and buying dogs and public houses and so on and so forth. And then time went on, and about April of 1990, something happened to me which had never happened to me really before in my life. I come under the conviction of sin. And boy, I can tell you it's heavy. And there's no laughing your way to Calvary, I can certainly tell you that. I come under conviction of sin. And everywhere I went, I received gospel facts. Everywhere I went, I received gospel facts. Because my grandmother was a Christian, I respected them, I read them, and I kept them. And they followed me here, there, and everywhere. My in-laws had bought me a Bible, and I began to do a little bit of Bible reading in the home. And I didn't want my wife to know I was getting soft and reading the Bible. So I would read it and I would line it up. I could get it right on top of the wardrobe, lined up in the spot where it should be, and you wouldn't know it was moved. So as I was reading the book, it was reading me. And that's the way it went. And it went on for months. And it went on for weeks and weeks. And I didn't know what was happening to me. I thought there was something wrong with me. So one day I was reading a tract and working a chap says to me, Kenny, you need to watch yourself. You're going to end up one of them. Whatever one of them was. But anyway, he says, you're going to end up one of them. I says, no, not for me. Definitely not for me. So anyway, the time moved on and things went on. And just coming up to about June, the last week in June, I was really reading the Bible quietly in my home, in my bedroom. No one knew. My children would have been at school and my wife would have been at work. And I was reading the Bible and it was reading me. And I had sleepless days because it was working night work. So it wasn't sleepless nights, it was sleepless days. And the Lord was really speaking to my heart. And you know, you can't plan your salvation yourself, but you can't really do it. See, you can't. You got to come when He calls, and it's in His timing. So I thought, now I'm only 32 years of age. And I can honestly tell you, I wasn't this size here. I wasn't. I was still playing football. I was still fit. I was still running the roads. I was still pumping a wee bit of iron, and so on and so forth. This is only access after you quit the sport. But anyway, I came to an end of a week of night work. And when you get off one weekend and four, you sort of lift it up a little bit. And I was going to live it up a little bit that weekend. And then one of my friends who played football with us, his father died. And he was getting buried on a Thursday. And I said to my wife, when she came home from work at lunchtime, I said, will you waken me because I'm going to this funeral? And anyway, she came home and she went to waken me. And I was up. She didn't have to waken me. The Lord had waken me. And I had asked him to be my Savior. Repented of my sin. And I came to Christ. And she came in. She didn't know this. And she came up the stairs to waken me. And she says, can I have something to tell you? I said, what is it? She says, 3 years in a row, this company and this one haven't given us a raise. Now, I'll not tell you who my wife worked for, in case it was a relative of your companies or something like that there. And you say, boy, they're miserable. But anyway, I said, Bonnie, forget about the pay raise. You need to sit down. I have something to tell you. And she says, what is it? I says, I was saved today. I came to the Lord today. She says, what does that mean? I says, it means you're going to have to take my suit to the cleaners and come back to church on Sunday. Well, anyway, I went to the funeral that day, and I'll finish in a couple of moments, I promise you. I went to the funeral that day, and we walked, there was a, just in the house, just in the home, and we were waiting outside, and into the car, down the road. And I ran about with a big chap, and we played a bit of football. And he was worse than me in the drink, believe it or not, he was actually worse than me. And he said, are you going out to the graveside? And I said, I'm not going out to the graveside, that's when he's for family. Well, he says, I'm going into the bar. Now, please bear with me a second, I'm saved at 1 o'clock. On the 28th of June, 1990, and I'm standing in a public house at 2 o'clock. Not a terrible thing. Here's the wonder of it. The big fellow went to order the usual. He didn't have to ask us what we're drunk. He knew it was drunk, but he said, just the usual. And I said, not for me. And he laughed, and he says, don't listen to him. He's only trying to bite. I says, Alan, not for me. And after about the third time, he realized it wasn't for me. And I drank a bottle of Coke. In between all these chaps came back from the graveside, and he says, boy, you want to hear that minister out of that grave? There happened to be a boy called Fox, Norman Fox. I ended up in his church. And he says, you want to hear that boy out the road there? Do you know what he said to us? Are you ready? And he says, he pointed to us, man. Are you ready for this journey? And one of the chaps standing in a working man's pub, just about the width of here, stands around, he points to me and he says, are you ready? I says, yes, I am. Sure you. So that was it. They all knew. They all knew. And you know, they gave me about 2 weeks, because you usually ask when it's over wild professions in about 2 weeks. But I got a possession which will never end. And it goes on into eternity. And you know, the Lord turned me around. It was tremendous. He took the desire of the bottle clean away that day. I can honestly say I've never desired it in 26 years. And no time for it. As a new creature in Christ, my life was turned around. And I went to church that Sunday. My wife didn't want to go to this particular church, but I said, well, that's where I'm going. Went down the road, and the minister was preaching on Jonah, running away from God. And she got saved where she sat, just in the meeting. So that was a change in our home. And it was a turning point in our lives. And then later on, the Lord led us to move on and study and things like that. There. But it's been 26 odd years. It's been tremendous. It's been tough. There's been battles, there's been difficulties, there's been problems, there's been tears shed, there's trouble that's not their door, things have come to our family, But without him, we wouldn't have got through. Somebody prayed in that prayer meeting, there's one that sticketh closer than any brother. And that's what he does, doesn't he? Saves you for time. He saves you for eternity. Thank you.